Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your grace and mercy to us, you've given us this hope of which we have just sung. Great celebrations. All of creation waiting for this moment, your promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that he is returning, that he will judge, that he will bring about your eternal kingdom in all its fullness, the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Help us today to live well in the light of this great truth. We ask in his name. Amen. Well, the events of this week have certainly been something that we would not have predicted. With many in our community feeling uncertainty, fear and dread, and questioning why. Of course, at this sort of time, the cry of the human heart for things to be put right seems to come out. Almost awkwardly to me. For many people throughout the year give no thought of God. No idea of him. No, not wanting him to be just or justice to come or truth to prevail or righteousness to prevail or goodness to prevail. And yet when things happen, why is this? And the cry of the human heart seems to me to be, we want things to be put right. But we don't want wickedness and evil to prevail. We want justice to be done. We want everything to be set properly. And that is the cry of the human heart. Even though throughout the year many people just deny all of this and live for themselves, doing as they please, not wanting justice, living with ignorance of God. It's remarkable, really, that 2 Peter chapter 3 comes at this time, and we're looking at it today. Because here we see God's great and eternal plan for planet Earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us of the next big thing on God's calendar. The next big thing on our calendar is probably Christmas Day. And you may have been preparing for this already, maybe buying a few prezzies. Yesterday we bought a ham, which is, you almost have to take a bank loan out for it nowadays. But anyway, we bought a ham. And so, you're preparing for this, the next big thing on our calendar. We prepare for these things, but ought we not to be preparing for the next big thing on God's calendar? And so 2 Peter chapter 3 is going to help us. Hold on to your seats. Jesus is returning. Understand this and live in the light of that. How are we to live in the light of the return of Jesus? The first thing that 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us is to be sure. To be sure, verse 1, Peter is writing that those to whom he's writing, and indeed us today, would be sure of these things. He is trying to stimulate them to wholesome thinking. And really he's been doing this all the way through his letter. And in contrast to the false teachers, who because of their wickedness have not been teaching the truths of the Lord, he's saying, I want to stimulate you to right thinking, to arouse you, to awaken you to think properly, to think rightly about the things of the Lord, to have in your mind what God is doing in his eternal plan, the plan and purposes of God, that we would be thinking them, that we would understand them. And he writes them, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking by way of a reminder. And what he goes on to here is to say the whole of the Bible actually is telling you about God's eternal plan to redeem and to restore fallen and corrupted humanity, because God, although he created the world, we've ignored him and we're rightfully condemned before him. And yet God's great plan is to restore all things. That's why Jesus came into this world. That's why we're celebrating his birth at this time of year. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Today is born a saviour, a rescuer. He is Christ the Lord. It's the trajectory of the whole Bible. The Old Testament prophets, Jesus himself, and the apostles who testified concerning Jesus all speak of these things. I want you to be certain. I want you to be sure. I want to stir you up to wholesome thinking. And of course, that's what I'm encouraging you all to do and to me to also, that we would not be carried away by the thinking of this world and by the false teachers, by those who will come scoffing, as we'll see in a moment. The Old Testament prophets spoke of one day this earth being broken up. Judgment is coming, the day of the Lord. God will visit, Isaiah chapter 24. Destroyed by fire, the day of the Lord is coming. Old Testament prophets, many more besides. Jesus himself, of course, spoke of this day. That he will come again in glory. And of course the apostles who testified concerning Jesus, who is the fulfillment of God's plan, coming to bring about rescue and coming again to judge, the apostles spoke of Jesus as well. Coming again. And we are waiting for this blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, as Paul writes in Titus. And the words of the apostles who testified concerning Jesus, as Peter also says here, is scripture. Even Paul in his writings, albeit, he says, an encouragement to us, maybe a little hard to understand some of these words, he says, but and regrettably ignorant and unstable people distort them, as verse 6 says. No, but he is writing scripture. This is God's word to us. And the words of the Old Testament, the words of Christ, the words of the apostles who testify to Jesus, tell us of God's eternal plan to bring about full and ultimate restoration in the new creation through the work of Jesus. And it's all come about by the power of the Word of God. Did you notice that as we read? The power of the Word of God to create. The power of the Word of God to judge. The flood coming, verse 6. Of course, if God is the Creator and we've rebelled against him and ignored him, then he has the right to judge. And by the power of his word that created, verses 4 and 5, by the same word, verse 6, he will judge. He's judged before, and he will judge again. We need, as God's people, in this day more than possibly any other, I probably shouldn't say these things, we need, like every other day since the coming of Jesus, to be sure of God's eternal plan. Being stimulated by way of reminder, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus himself and the apostles, be sure, this is God's plan. He will judge, and he's coming again, and he will create the heavens and the earth. We need to be sure. But we also need to be warned. We need to be warned because, as Peter reminds us here in verse 3 onwards, in these last days, that is the days between Jesus coming as a baby and his coming again, in these days there will be scoffers who will come, scoffing. He's sort of underlining it here. The scoffers are coming and they're scoffing. That's what they're like, and this is what they'll do. They will laugh. They will laugh at you. They will make fun of you. They'll make fun of us. Concerning this idea that God will come again, Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, that the full-time whistle and this creation will be blown and everything will be got and recreated, you've got to be kidding. And their logic is this: from the beginning of time, these scoffers are saying, from the beginning of time, life has just gone on the way it is. We get up, we eat, we go to work, we have leisure time, we save, we have go on holiday, we get our superannuation sorted, we've got our retirement sorted out. Yeah, life is going on and life is pretty good. And so these scoffers say, where is this idea of God breaking into history again and actually stopping it and bringing us all to account? You've got to be joking. Of course, they are deliberately ignoring the fact that God has not only the right to judge because he created, but they deliberately ignore the fact that God has already judged in this world, as in the days of Noah. And they're just saying, well, life is going on. Why should we be worried? Actually, it's the same lie that Satan gave to the people in the days of Noah. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, what was happening in the days of Noah? Why, people were just getting on with life. They were eating, drinking, getting married. All those things are fine. All those things are good. Life was just going on as normal. Oh yes, they probably heard the strange words of judgment coming from a man who was building a boat. And they laughed at him too. And they did not know what was coming on them. Right up until the day the door shut. That's what Jesus said on that ark. And they were destroyed. It's the same lie that Satan is peddling now. Life is just going on. Life is good. Where is the coming? Where is the promise of this coming? And they deliberately ignore the truth of the sovereignty of God, the power of the word of God, the right of God to judge, for he is the creator. We need to be warned as God's people that there will be people who scoff, who laugh at us, who laugh at this message, because they deliberately close their eyes on what God has done. These are also the people, I assume, and there are many of, there are many different people that Peter's spoken about, the false teachers of the previous chapter, and also those who we are to be on our guard against in verse 17, the lawless men that are there to carry us away by their error. Notice their lawlessness and their wickedness is driving their theology, their understanding of God. They are deliberately ignoring, deliberately forgetting, verse 5, the power and authority of God's word. So we need to be sure of these things, and we need to be warned or to be on our guard against those who will laugh at them. We also need to be patient, understanding that God will act. This is the next big thing on God's calendar, but it is precisely that. It is God's calendar. It's God's calendar. It's his timing when this day, the day of the Lord, will happen. And we therefore need great patience. Our calendar for when we want Jesus to return, and we do want him to return. I want him to return today. And that's right and appropriate. The Bible tells us we should be thinking this way and praying this way. But we need to realise that God's calendar is different to ours. And taking up in verse 8, Psalm 90 verse 4, with the day, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. His calendar, his perspective is different to ours. In fact, Michael Green in his commentary says, God sees time with a perspective we lack. 1,000 years is like a day. And God sees time with the intensity that we do not have. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. God's perspective on this is different to ours. And we do want Jesus to return. I do. I do. We do, and it's right that we do, but we, as James says, we need to be patient. As the farmer is, waiting for the rain, understanding God's timetable and being patient. But the Lord, as verse 9 says, remembering this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. It will happen. Don't listen to the scoffers. Be sure. Be stimulated to right thinking. Understand God's plan. Just rubbing it all in. That's what we want to do. Be ready for Jesus' return. But we also need to be gospeling, if I can coin that word. We also need to be people who are gospeling. Because the reason why Jesus has not yet returned, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is that sinners, that's people, that's all of us, will be able to hear about Jesus the Saviour and repent. The reason why Jesus has not yet come back, according to 2 Peter 3, is that to give us all an opportunity to hear that the love of God in Christ, to hear that Jesus has taken our punishment, to hear that we need to repent from our sins and turn back to the Lord. And friend, if you are here today and you have not yet turned to Jesus, why, the reason that you are here and the reason why Christ has not yet come to judge the world is so that you will have an opportunity to hear that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for you, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life with a new resurrected body in the new creation where righteousness dwells and where evil will be done away with and sickness will be no more and death will be gone and God will wipe away every tear from your eye. Is that not the cry of the human heart? Then turn to Jesus the Saviour, and he is patient with you if you haven't yet returned to him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so all I can do today is point you to Jesus, who, as Peter writes in his first letter, bore your sins in his body on the tree. But this is also a word for us as Christians. God's patience with humanity is so that people would repent and be saved. And as verse 15 says, we need to bear this in mind, that the Lord's patience means salvation. And friends, if God's patience means salvation, God's patience will only mean salvation if we tell people about the Saviour. It'll only mean salvation for people if they hear of the Saviour, if they hear of Jesus. And so, as God's people waiting for the return of Jesus and living in the light of the return of Jesus, we not only need to be sure, we not only need to be on our guard against and understand and be warned that there were scoffers that come, we not only need to be patient waiting for that day, but we need to be telling people about Jesus the Saviour so that they too will be ready to meet him when he comes and not be condemned. We need to be a gospeling people, gossiping the gospel, telling others about Jesus, telling our friends of the love of God, that Jesus would come, the righteous for us, the unrighteous, to do what? To bring us to God. To tell people that they need to repent. To tell them that they too are condemned before God like all of us are. We need to be gospeling. It is the next big thing on God's calendar, and it will come like a thief at an hour we will not expect. We are to be using the time that we have now to tell others about God's saving work in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the things of this world will all pass away. I remember sitting in this down here somewhere probably about 20 years ago now, and Greg Webster was speaking, and he said, imagine if I gave you all a sticker. So I'm flogging his illustration, but it was from here. If you remember this, good on you. It was a long time ago. He said, imagine if I gave you all a sticker, a little red sticker, as we walked in the building today, and I was to say, put a sticker on everything that's going to last for eternity. Where would we put those stickers? Would we put them on the... Let's put them on the building. Look at that lovely sandstone. Let's put them on... No, that will go one day. What about the stained glass windows? No, that'll go... What about the organ? That's marvellous. I love that. Oh, no, that'll go one day. What's going to last? We'll be putting the stickers on each other. because we were made eternal creatures. The thing is, are you ready to meet the judge when he comes? We've just sung of it in the hymn that we sang. Either welcomed in to God's family, welcomed in to his kingdom, or the fear of hell. Christ came. Peter writes just earlier on in chapter 1 of 2 Peter that through him we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of this world. This world will end. Where will you spend eternity? Where will your friends spend eternity? Where will your family spend eternity? Let's be gospeling. Let's be telling them about Jesus, living in the light of his return. And living in the light of his return, in verse 11, he gets very specific. Since then everything will be destroyed in this way, the world will be laid bare. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We are to be godly. That's living in the light of the return of Jesus, being godly. And if you have repented from your sins, which is what God desires everyone to do, then we will be living for the Lord. We are on a different road. We are serving a different master. And we will be like him. God says, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. We are holy in Jesus. We're made right in Jesus. We're cleansed in Jesus. But we are to reflect that new life in how we live. Be godly. And it's godliness of life that is there with great hope and joyful expectancy. As verse 11 says, as you look forward to the day and speed its coming. We are to be joyfully looking forward to this day of the return of Jesus Christ. Looking forward to it. Not looking forward to the joys of our retirement. Well, oh yes, that's nice to be able to do, but the joy is the new creation. The new joy is when Jesus will make everything new. The home of righteousness. And we are to be joyful in this hope. Yes, we do suffer and we will suffer and we will struggle in this life. But the joy of the hope of eternal life in the new creation must burn brightly before us. And the more dark the pain, the more bright the hope should burn. It is the next thing on God's calendar. And it can happen any time. Be joyfully expectant for that day. Don't let the mockers get to you. Don't let those who laugh at work get to you. There is a truth that we need to be sure of and hang on to and be on our guard against people that will seek us to take us away from it. Look forward to the day and speed its coming. Pray your kingdom come. Pray, come Lord Jesus, and live in the light of it. And finally, be growing. Be growing. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to the false teachers and in contrast of those lawless men against whom we are to be on our guard, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Get a hold of the promises of God. Read them, study them, meditate, memorize, be in a Bible study group, get along to church every week, encourage each other. Even gossiping the gospel to your neighbours and friends and family grows you in the grace and mercy of and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grow. Growing. For God in Christ has shown us his great mercy and has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You might like to take up the opportunity that we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to come along to Christianity Condensed through January, if you're still investigating who Jesus is. So how do we live in the light of the return of Jesus? Be sure of these facts. This is the plan and purpose of God, spoken of even through the prophets, even right the way back in the book of Genesis. It's the trajectory of the scriptures. You can't discount the Old Testament from the New. No, it is the plan and purpose of God ever since we rebelled against him, even before that, before time, to restore us again in Christ Jesus and to put everything under his feet. It will happen. We need to be sure, and we need to be warned. People will come who will laugh, who will scoff at the idea of the return of Jesus, a full-time whistle blown of the judgment of God coming, and of any thought of a new creation. We need to be warned and we need to be ready. We need to be on our guard, as verse 17 says. And we need to be patient, realising that God's time is his time, but it will happen. And we need to be gospeling, telling others. God's patience will to bring salvation, that's why he's patient. And God's patience will only mean salvation if we're telling people about the Saviour. And be godly. If we're headed for the new creation where righteousness dwells, would it not make sense to have righteousness in us and dwelling in us and living out in us now? Be godly. And be joyfully expectant and be ready for the return of Jesus. Long for it. Pray for it and be growing. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who will return and who will judge the living and the dead and who will bring in the new creation where righteousness dwells. Is that where you're headed? I pray we all are. And I can't wait. And all glory and praise be, as Peter ends, to him, both now and forevermore. Amen.